Today, and we're going to look to the Word of God this morning. So grab your Bibles. I already told you what we're going to talk about last week, right? You don't remember, right? Bad students. We're going to talk about Jehoshaphat today. So if you've got your Bibles, grab your Bibles or click on your Bibles. We're going to be mostly in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The story we all know, but oh, it's a great story. So if you say Second Chronicles, Kings, Chronicles, and Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, okay? That gives you the area. So 2 Chronicles 20, the story that we know so very well of Jehoshaphat and the people. And when they say, Lord, we don't know what to do, the army's coming. Yeah, this is the quick preview, right? But you already know the story. And they praise, and God wins the battle just through praise. No other weapons are raised. But we're going to look at it this morning. Let me give you a little bit of background. Is that story new to anybody? I hope not. It's just such a wonderful story, episode from the history of the Jews, and it's an example for us this morning. So we're going to look 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat, and the power of praise, or praise is powerful, whatever you want to call it. Last week we've been talking about Nehemiah, and then we finished up with remember and rejoice. And so last week we talked about the rejoicing of the people as they as they walked on the walls that the enemy had said, ha, a fox will make the wall crumble. And a whole city marched on the walls in victory, and they gave sacrifices. Everything that the enemy said they will never be able to do. They won't build the wall. They won't be able to give sacrifices. They won't be able to walk on the wall. Every one of those things God's people did with the help of their God, which is what Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 6:16. And so we're transitioning from that. Last week was about praise, but for the next few Sundays, our theme, or I wish I were more creative, but anyhow, it's a short series on praise, okay? Let me just put it that way. And today we're going to talk about the power of praise. Here's the Lord's battle. I want to remind you, last week we read from Psalms 8:2, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Why? Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. What an encouragement that should be to each one of us, because so often when we are facing trouble, problems, enemies, we really feel like babies, don't we? We feel like infants. We feel like I can't overcome this. We feel like this problem is too big for me. We feel I'm weak, I'm powerless, I have no answer, which puts us exactly where we could be, should be, for God to help us. And God says, from your lips, I ordain praise. Why? Because of the enemy. And what comes from your mouth and your heart in these times, it silences the foe. I'm going to say this again a little bit later, but let me go ahead and say it right now. And this is from, remember, they rejoiced so loudly that their joy and the rejoicing was heard from afar. Both the people of Israel and their enemies heard their mighty praises. And I'll wait till later to say this other part. We'll get to it. And this is what Jesus did. He made a public spectacle of powers and authorities that were against them. He triumphed over them by the cross. It's so encouraging to you and me to know that the things that seem to be defeating you now, that seem to be over you, in the Lord's hand and in the Lord's timing, will be under your feet. And what feels like a loss, and what feels like a disgrace, and what feels like a shame, God will turn around and turn over to bring praise and glory to himself. Amen. Amen. As we saw last week, and we're going to see it more this week as well. So I told you we'd talk about Jehoshaphat, so here we go. 2 Chronicles 20. Ready? Okay. And we're not going to look at there's so much in this wonderful story. Let me take my Here we go. There's so much in this wonderful story. We're not going to look at everything, but we're going to, our focus will be praise, but we're going to talk about a few other things as we go along. And this is how it begins. So after this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, together with some of the Meunites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. I should give you some background. So by this time, the kingdom, the Jewish people have split into two kingdoms. Southern kingdom, northern kingdom. So Jehoshaphat is king in the southern kingdom, Judah, Jerusalem, in that area. The northern kingdom is the wicked, wicked king that you all know, who? Ahab. So Ahab is king in the north. Jehoshaphat is king in the south. That means Jezebel is up in the north as well. And that also lets you know, remember the prophet of God that stood against Ahab and Jezebel? Remember? Elijah, right? So Elijah's up in the north, prophet of God. Ahab is the king up there. Jehoshaphat is down south in the southern kingdom. And so this says they came to fight against Jehoshaphat. And people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from beyond the Dead Sea, this was quite far away, from beyond the Dead Sea and from Edom has come to fight against you. They are already in Hazazon Tamar, that is En Gedi. So just all you need to, you say, I can't remember all that. All you need to know is they came from pretty far away. They're three armies, and they're already really close. So how close are they when Jehoshaphat gets this news? So I had to do a little bit of digging. They are approximately, roughly 20 miles or about 32 kilometers away from Jerusalem when they get the report that this vast army is coming. So that's pretty close, right? It's not a super far, it's not, they're not very far away. And so we're going to get to praise very quickly, but I want you to look again at this, and we're going to look at something before we go ahead. Look at the first two words of this. How does this episode begin? After this. So you know my background was English teaching. So I would be thinking, after what? Did you think, has anybody read this and thought, after what? I hope so. So I think you need to know, I think it would help us to know after what? After this. After what happened? Well, let's go back to chapter 19. Jehoshaphat was a good and a godly king, not perfect, but he was a good and godly king who followed in the ways of the Lord. And we read, if we back up one chapter, you could read the whole chapter, verses 12 through 19. We're just going to read one or the whole thing. Look at verse 4. Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out among the people, traveling from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim. That's the whole area. And he brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. So I want you to stop and think about this for just a minute. So here's Jehoshaphat. He's doing good things for God, right? He is going among the people. He's doing what a good and godly king should do. He is bringing them back to the worship of God. He's drawing their hearts. Let's worship God again. Let's go back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's be restored in our relationship with God. Let's be restored in our worship. And if you read a little bit further, you will then also find that the other thing he does is he establishes God-fearing judges throughout the land. And then in Jerusalem, he even appoints Levites and priests to judge for God and to help help people understand the law of God. So, and if you read the very last words of chapter 19, so if you've got your Bible, you can look at the very last phrase of chapter 19, right before chapter 20, and it will be something like this. Be strong and may the Lord be with those who do what is right. That's great. This is what Jehoshaphat says to the people. Be strong, be brave, and may the Lord be with those who do what is right. Then comes what? Then comes after this. After this. How ironic that here's Jehoshaphat doing good things, and after this, a vast army comes up against him. So here's a takeaway. Here's a teaching point for us. And just think about this just a minute. How many of you have been doing what you can do for the Lord? You've been serving the Lord. You've been walking in his ways. You've been doing what he puts on your heart to do. You've made more commitments to the Lord. All of this. And then trouble comes in the midst of your serving the Lord. Has that ever happened to you? Bad things come, big problems come. And our natural response is, hey, What's going on, right? Our natural response is, God, I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what's good. Lord, I'm honoring you and I'm obeying you. I'm not living in sin. I'm not in rebellion. I'm not whatever. And nevertheless, after this, trouble comes. So here's a takeaway for you this morning. Here's a teaching point for us this morning. And we've all been in the same boat before. All of us have been in this before. Very often when we are committing to the Lord, very often when we've made a new a spiritual investment in our lives, a new stand in righteousness, God, I'm going to follow in your ways, trouble will come. The enemy will come. Big things will happen. Sorry. For those of you who are visiting with us, we're sorry for the smell. We can't do anything about it. It just happens. You can put your mask on. It's okay. But we won't die. We shall live. Maybe we should start praying about this smell. I'm tired of it. Because I can see on your faces. You're trying to focus, but everybody's going. And you're looking around. Okay, let's get back to Jehoshaphat. Okay. And so here's a takeaway for you. Don't think that you're doing something wrong. Don't think that God is judging you. Don't think these things. When something like this happens, here we have a very good example. You see, there are a lot of people who will tell you, you must be doing something wrong. Now, it's good to examine your heart, because sometimes things get in our heart, right? Sometimes we've got bitterness or unforgiveness in our heart, and I'll go ahead and tell you right now, bitterness and unforgiveness and anger that are not dealt with in our hearts open a door for the work of the enemy. We'll talk about that in the weeks, in the months ahead. They open a door for the enemy, including depending on what you're looking at and listening to, whether you get involved in like pornography, which opens a door to the enemy, or like all that supernatural stuff that's on television, all these movies and stuff, opens a door for the enemy. Okay, so examine your heart. That's not where I want to go this morning, but. Don't feel that you're under God's judgment or you've done something wrong when troubles come. Here's Jehoshaphat, who's doing the best he knows to do, being led by the Lord. And then after this great army comes. Okay? So that's our first takeaway. The enemy will often stir up against you when you commit to follow the Lord. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, well, I'm just going to live a lukewarm life for God then. Maybe the devil will leave me alone. Seriously? Who wants to live a lukewarm life for God? There's no joy in that. There's no strength in that. There's no victory in that. And the devil still won't leave you alone. Okay? So go all out for God. So there's our first takeaway. So what does Jehoshaphat do? We would like to say he stood up and he this and that, but that is not Jehoshaphat's first reaction. And I'm going to use two words, and this will help us this morning. There's a reaction and there's an action, and the two are different. Okay? So reaction and action. What is Jehoshaphat's reaction? Here's his reaction. Jehoshaphat was afraid. Okay? How many of you, something happens, it's unexpected or whatever, and the doctor tells you something, and your first response is fear. Pretty common. It's this or it's that. Or something really upsets you, and your first response is anger, right? Or whatever, or something like that. Okay, to be honest, you can come talk to me and try to change my mind, but to be honest, I'm not so concerned about our first reaction. I'm not concerned. We are people of emotion, and there are things that there's a first reaction. What I'm concerned about is our first action. And I think what God is concerned about is our first action. So there's a first reaction, and Jehoshaphat's reaction is fear. But his first action is faith. Got it? Okay, got it. That is so clear. I hope we get that this morning. So here's the first reaction. And all of us at times have had reactions that we wish we had not had, right? Take care of the reaction. That's okay. Keep on going. Let your first action be faith. So he was afraid, so he resolved to seek the Lord. Okay, there's the reaction, there's the action. So he proclaimed a fast for all Judah who gathered to seek the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him. This is a big problem. It's going to affect all of them, this vast army. It's a vast army, by the way. It's not just an army. It's an army. It's a, I can't think of the word. An amalgamation is not the right word. It's a, three armies together. Alliance, that's the word. It's an alliance of three nation groups, people groups, and the army comes against one nation that's not particularly large at this point. So it's going to affect everybody if they come against Judah and if they fight against them. So they all gather as well. So we've got it straight. Here's our second takeaway. Whatever your first reaction is, and it may be almost anything, and often our first reaction will be some sort of emotional thing. Don't stay there. Go to the first action, which is faith. Got it? That's kind of an easy takeaway for us. And so they come before the Lord, and I want us to look at this. He's such a good study for us because although there's a first reaction of fear, he so quickly, so immediately goes to faith. And I want us to see something about Jehoshaphat that you may not have noticed before. I want to go back to chapter 17. Let me read you something about Jehoshaphat. Is Jehoshaphat totally powerless? Is Jehoshaphat a puny little whatever against the three armies that are coming? Well, it is a great enemy that has come, but I want you to see something in chapter 17 because Jehoshaphat is walking with the Lord and God's blessing him. And we read in Jehoshaphat chapter 17, verses 12 and 13, Jehoshaphat grew stronger and stronger. He built fortresses and storage cities in Judah, and he carried out great works in the towns of Judah. He had fighting men, brave warriors in Jerusalem. Okay? And if you read a little bit further in the chapter, we're not going to, but if you read a little bit further, you will find that his fighting men number almost 1 million. Trained, and it says, I think three times it says, they were brave. They were brave and experienced. So his resources are not small. His resources are not puny, but it is three armies coming against him. But what I want us to see is this. Here's this great lesson for us from Jehoshaphat. Because he immediately turns to God in prayer, and we so often don't, because we so often look at our own resources first, right? How many of us, seriously, you know, a problem comes, and the first thing we do is we start figuring out what we can do. How many of you have been that way before? We all have, right? Here comes this trouble or whatever. Well, what can I do? I can do this, that. I've got friends. I can whatever. We call it being self-reliant. Do you know what the Bible calls it? God has a different word for that. You know what God calls it? Pride. He calls it pride. Thinking I can do this. I'm gonna muster my resources. I'm gonna get my friends. I can do this. And we think, well, I'm making it happen. And God says that's pride. And when pride is working in our lives, brothers and sisters, that closes the door to help from God. It really does, right? Because the Bible says God is far from the proud. The Bible says when we're proud, God himself is in battle formation against us when there's pride. Why? Because that was the first sin. The original sin was not Adam. It wasn't Adam's. The original sin was in heaven with Lucifer and pride when he says, I will be like the Most High. I will. Five times was pride. And so God says, I'm far from anybody who has pride. Jehoshaphat, who is powerful with a great army, has no pride. He comes running to God. Oh God. And so they gather. So encouraging. Now, let's look at some things. Let's look at some other things as well as we go forth through this. And let's look real quickly at the prayer that he prays, which is so wonderful. This is going to be fast, but let's look at it together. So Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard, and he said, so he's leading the people in prayer. They're all there as well. And he begins praying, and here's how the prayer starts. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who's in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. Now, I want us to look at this prayer, because you know what you're going to see as we go through this very quickly? Here's another takeaway for us. Me, Jennifer, if I were facing this vast army, I would go running to God, but then you know what I would do? I'd start saying, "Oh God, this army's coming. Oh God, help, help." I know I'm a little dramatic, sorry. It's who I am. Jehoshaphat doesn't do that. Look how he starts. I really mean this. Look how he starts. He starts with how great God is, right? I know sometimes we just, "Oh God, help." And that's okay too, but I want us to see something from Jehoshaphat. He starts in victory. He doesn't start in, "Oh help." He says, "Oh God, oh Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who's in heaven?" Do you know what prayer he's praying here? This is a wonderful prayer, a rich prayer. This is the prayer that David prays in 1 Chronicles. I looked it up. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, this is the prayer of David. It's based on what David prayed. Then he goes a little bit further. And you know where this part is from? "Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel?" Who does that come from? Where does that come from? Joshua, right? So there's David, there's Joshua, keep going, "and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham," your friend. Abraham's in there as well. And then they go a little, then he goes a little bit further, and then he goes further and he says, "They've built the sanctuary. Say, if calamity comes, whether this, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name. We will cry out to you in our distress. You will hear us. You will save us." Whose prayer is this? Solomon's prayer. It's Solomon's prayer when they dedicated the temple. So brothers and sisters, here's another takeaway for us this morning. Here comes Jehoshaphat. He's praying from David. He's praying from Joshua. He's praying from Abraham. He's praying from Solomon. And everything here is about the great God. Everything here is about the history of God on behalf of his people. If you are facing trouble, if you are facing difficulties, a great place to start in your prayers is with our faithful God. What he has done, how he has blessed in the past, how he has worked on behalf of his people. That's where you start, brothers and sisters. That's where you start. And why do you start there? Because I told you we were going to get to praise. So he's praising God, "You've done this, you've done that." Praise magnifies God. What does the word magnify mean? What does the word magnify mean? To make big. I used to use my phone for other things, and now that my eyes are getting a little bit older, I sometimes use it to magnify small print, and you do too, right? Praise magnifies God. Praise makes God big. And when God gets big in your life and in your circumstances, your problems get small. Your trouble gets small. When God is big, trouble is small. When God is great, the enemy is smaller. And that's why we praise. What was the title of this? The power of praise. The power of praise. And here is Jehoshaphat praising God. Praising God. He doesn't even start with the vast army. He starts with God. What God has done. And then, after four verses, what does he say? "God, you see them?" He finally says, "God, look. I like to think of it that way. And then he says, "But now here are the Ammonites, Moabites, inhabitants of Mount Seir. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? Will you not judge them? For we're powerless." Pause there. Here's another takeaway for us this morning. When we praise, so Joshua says, "God, look, will you take care of them? Lord, will you deal with them? Because our problems are too big for us to take care of, right? Our problems are too big for us to handle. That's why we go to the big God who can handle them. That's why we honor him and we praise him. Now, look at something else here, because we're in the Old Testament, but what does it look like in the New Testament? In the Old Testament, look, here's another takeaway. "Oh, our God, will you not judge them?" You see, in the Old Testament, we've talked about this before, the judgment of God, the vengeance of God, when God does these things, it's always against people, right? It's against people. And what we see in the Old Testament, it's people who were against God and against God's people. And so God has a view of the enemies. God has not an opinion. God says, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. God is the one who takes care of it. And so Jehoshaphat understands that. I'm not saying it quite right. Stay with me. I'll get it out right in just a minute. What Jehoshaphat is saying, God, will you judge them? You judge them. You see, brothers and sisters, you and I get all worked up about judging people who have done wrong to us, right? We do. We do. They did this, they did that. Or we get in situations, oh God, and we kind of feel like, God, come on, God. How many of you have ever felt as a Christian, I know God's on my side in this disagreement? Have you ever felt that? We feel that, don't we? God's on my side. It's better for us to be on God's side, okay? But what I want us to see is this. Jehoshaphat understands who God is and how he deals with what is wrong, because he says, God, would you deal with them? Would you judge them? You and I, our hearts cannot handle judging situations because we don't see everything. We don't know everything. Our hearts can't handle judging people because we're not full of grace, mercy, and love. God is full of grace, mercy, and love. God has to take care of people. God has to work out what's right and what's wrong. And he'll always do it the right way. God will always do it the right way. You can trust him. He'll never... How many of you have ever been in a situation and you have misjudged a person? Yes? You misjudged something they said. You misjudged something they did. And then, you really blew it. God never does that. God never does that. And when we get to the New Testament, we've talked about this before, for we wrestle, you're going to hear some of these verses again and again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not the person you can see. Your enemy is not this or what you can see. Your enemy is what is unseen. It is the work of the devil. It's the work of the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not flesh and blood. They're not made of flesh, but they're mighty through God. And so God has to be in this. God has to do that. Jehoshaphat understands that. So Jehoshaphat is not saying, God be on our side. Jehoshaphat is saying, God, we are yours. Would you take care of this? Does that help you? Maybe you already knew all that. It was good for me, at least. It helped me. Let God sort it out. Let God work it out. And so if God works it out, he's going to judge, and he's going to do what's right. Okay, so there they stand. They're waiting for the answer from the Lord, okay? And here we go to the most wonderful prayer. Honestly, I think this is almost the best prayer in the Old Testament. The New Testament prayer that is the same as, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Do you know how many times I have prayed this? Have you prayed this prayer before? I hope you have, because God always answers this prayer. Do you know what this prayer says? This prayer says, oh God, I am not proud. Oh God, I am humble before you. God, I have no resources. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. You pray that from your heart, God hears, God answers every time, every time. The New Testament equivalent of this, you know what it is? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Remember we talked about this one time. Have mercy on me. That's the New Testament equivalent of this prayer. I got nothing, God. Have mercy, because mercy we don't deserve. Mercy we don't deserve. And so this is the Old Testament phrase, New Testament, have mercy. What a great prayer to pray when you don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. My eyes are not on my great army of a million people. God, my eyes are on you. So here they are. They're all standing there, okay? They're standing, all Judah is standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, their children. I love that. It's the whole, they're all the families are together. And in the midst of the congregation, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel. We have never heard of Jehaziel before now. We never hear of Jehaziel after this, ever again. He just comes up. He is one of the Levites. He is part of the group that was... in the descent, in the spiritual line of those that worship the Lord. He was of the he's of the sons of Asaph, A-S-A-P-H, the ones that David appointed also to worship the Lord. Okay, so that's his lineage. But here he comes, and suddenly the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Here's another takeaway for you. Don't always look to the pastor to have a word from God for you. I do pray for you, and I do say, Lord, what's your word for your people? But you know what? God didn't speak through Jehoshaphat. God didn't speak through the high priest. God spoke through a guy named Jehaziel as they were all waiting on the Lord. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you, and he wants to speak through you. It may be in the congregation. It may be to another person. Don't wait for one of the elders to come around. Be open to the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord, because it's not about you. We all have false humility. Oh, no, I can't. Pastor Jen is here, whatever. No, it's about God, right? It's about God. And the Spirit of the Lord came. It's not Jehaziel's idea. It's not Jehaziel's thought. It's not Jehaziel sitting there saying, I want to say something. No, it's the Spirit of God. And he comes upon Jehaziel, okay, in the midst of the people, and God has a word for them. So what is God's word for them? And he said, listen carefully, all Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. This is why we know King Jehoshaphat is humble. He doesn't take offense, and he doesn't say, well, God, your word should have come through me because I'm the king. He doesn't say that, as we're going to see in just a minute. Jehaziel stands and gives God's message. This is what the Lord says. Oh, so here you go. You ready? People around you say all sorts of things. The devil whispers or shouts all sorts of lies about your situation, about your trouble, about what will never change, about what it's like. God will never answer this. Let me pause there just a minute, but you just go ahead and look at what God says to them. I was counseling a family, a Christian family, and there was an adult child in the family who was so far from God, so rebellious, so full of the devil. So I was counseling the family and talking with them and encouraging them. And as we were talking, one of the family members, and they were all Christians, one of the family members who was particularly frustrated about the problem said out loud in the midst, and this is nobody here, nobody in Hong Kong, so don't start looking around saying, who was it? You don't know. and I wouldn't tell you anyhow. And one of the family members who was a Christian, boom, into the middle of the conversation said, they'll never change, about this person. They'll never change. And you know what went through my mind immediately? Well, that's the devil. And it was. It was. And you know, we face these troubles and problems, and these things come into our mind. Oh, there's this. It may be about cancer, or it may be problems, or this or that. And everything in our history will tell us, yep, that's right, that's true. He'll never change. He'll never change. Because it's been that way so long. The doctor said this, or the doctor said that. And I just want to tell you right now, that's the voice of the devil. That's the devil. It's the devil. It's the devil. So what you and I have to know is this. What does the Lord say? What does the Lord say? What does the Lord say to you this morning? What does the Lord say? I mean this. Stop and think, Selah. Stop and think on this for just a minute. What does the Lord say? It grieves my heart when I talk with Christians and what comes out of their mouths is what the enemy would say. It's what the enemy would say. I can't. I'm this. I'm that. Is that what God would say? I really mean it. I want it to be so simple for you. I'm giving you some really simple takeaways. I'm not. I hope you don't feel like I'm being condescending. I'm really not. This is for me too. When you start thinking things and saying things, really simple. I really mean this. Ask yourself, God, would you say that? I really mean that. Would God say, they'll never change? I don't think so. Would God say, you're not going to make it? Would God say, this is going to kill you, you'll never get better? Would God say, this relationship is over? Would God say these things? Of course not. Would God say something to make fear increase in your life? No, he wouldn't. So stop listening to the devil, and honestly, brothers and sisters, stop repeating the devil's words. I mean it. Stop repeating the devil's words. Instead, what does the Lord say? Amen? That was pitiful, but it's true. What does the Lord say? Amen. You're praying. Okay. You're praying. You can be praying right now as we talk about this. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Oh boy, brothers and sisters. You want to stop right there? We're not going to stop right there. We've got to keep going. But you want to stop right there? Pause on that just a minute and say to yourself, I will not be afraid. This is what God is saying. I will not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast multitude, for the battle is not mine, but God's. So, brothers and sisters, however God works in your life after this point, this is still the word of God to you. However he works, whatever you face and whatever you go through, whether God works a mighty miracle as he does in your life, as he did for Jehoshaphat and Judah, or he does it in another way, nevertheless, this battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. Amen? Amen. It is the Lord's. Okay. Okay. Let's keep going. And so he says, and then he says, I think God's kind of funny. I really do. You know, those of us that love to laugh and jokes and things like that, do you know that came from God? We have to be careful with it, but it came from God. Here's this great word from God. The battle is mine. And then he doesn't give them a battle plan. All he says is, now tomorrow, go down against them. You'll see them coming up the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley facing the wilderness of Jeruel. Well, God, I don't need to know where the enemy is. I'd like to know how you're going to solve this problem. I'd like to know how you're going to the enemy. I'd feel a lot better, God, if you'd let me know how you're going to do it. How many of us feel that way? I'd like to know, Lord, I'd like to know the step-by-step, please. And you know what? Here's God. right, Eileen? He doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you. He just says, it's my battle, it's not yours. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And he says, now, go out and face the enemy. Lord, I don't want to face the enemy. Let me stay here in Jerusalem. You go take care of them. We're going to sit here. You go down. Lord, you know where the enemy is. You go get him, God. I'm going to stay here in Jerusalem. Now, we'd like that, but so often God doesn't do it that way, right? Okay, so I think God has a sense of humor. Okay, so he says, now go out, and so and then look with me again, just in case, because, you know, they need reassurance. Do you know God doesn't mind giving you reassurance when you need it? Here comes at the end of this word from God. You do not have to fight this battle. He says it again. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Oh, there it comes again. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Praise the Lord. Now, if you need encouragement, in this short word from the Lord, two times God says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Two times God says, this battle is the Lord's. And two times God says, I am with you. I am with you, just in case, right? Two times for each one of these wonderful encouragements. So when you face problems and when the enemy is threatening, when you don't know what to do, what you need to know is this. You need to know, what does the Lord say? Okay? First, what does the Lord say? The battle is not yours, but God's. This is always true. He is with you. This is always true. Don't be afraid or discouraged. This is always true. Because he's with you. Because he's with you. He may not tell you what he's going to do. He may not tell you how he's going to do it. But all you need to, what you need to know is he's with you. And it's his battle. Amen? I want you to look at one other thing. This may help you. here's the word position, but some of you, depending on your Bible translation, instead of saying position, it will say station yourself, right? Do some of you in your translations, if you'll look, it says station. So here's a way to remember it. You know, it's my English background, right? So position, in other words, take your position, right? So let me change that to the word station. Station yourself, okay? Stand still, station yourself, stand still, and see salvation. That's a great way to remember it, right? Station, stand still, see salvation. Now, what is your station? What's your position? In this story, in this episode, what is your position? Your position is praise. That simple. Your position is praise. Has the answer come yet? No. Do you know how it's going to come? No. Do you know where it's going to come? No. But what's your position? Praise. Praise. Do you know why praise is your position? As we're going to see. You already know how this story ends. But this is why praise is always a good position. The enemy has no defense against praise. Let me say it one more time. The enemy has no defense against praise. When you start praising the Lord, the enemy is powerless. When you start praising the Lord, everything that he had against you drops to the ground. This is what praise does. And so their response is what? Then Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground. I want you to see all of the type of worship. He bows. That's formal. If we studied the Hebrew, he does something very formal. Even though he's king, he bows down. He bows down. He bends his neck. His neck is not stiff. Remember, we talked about this in Nehemiah. Then what happens next? Then all of the people do what? And all of Judah and the inhabitants, they fell down before the Lord to worship him. That's informal. That's a response to the Lord. They literally fall on their faces, all of them, before God. And that's a different word from Jehoshaphat's. They fall, oh God, you're so great. In other words, what God's word is to them, it has overwhelmed them with the goodness of God. And that's not the only thing that happens. What's the other thing that happens? Then the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the Korahites, these are groups of in the priestly line that praised the Lord. Then they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel, shouting in a loud voice. I want to tell you something. If your only praise is in my heart because I'm quiet, you're missing out. You're missing out. So much of the Psalms, so much of the praises, as we have seen and as we're going to see, is outward, expressive, demonstrative, and loud. It's loud. It's like, well, I'm not a loud person. I am. Y'all know that. But it doesn't matter what I say. It matters what the Bible shows us. That's what we want to do. It matters what the Bible shows us. We'll talk about this more later. But they shout in a loud voice, hey, look at this with me. There's no answer yet. The army is still coming. They're getting closer by the minute. They don't have anything. Oh, God, thank you. Remember last week, Nehemiah? Oh, thank you. We built the wall. Very different here. There's no answer yet. The enemy is still on the way. But what do? They have the word of God, and they stand, and they begin to praise the Lord. When we praise the Lord, the enemy has no defense. Okay, now, we know what happens next. They get up early in the morning. They go out in the wilderness. Jehoshaphat says, okay, he encourages them. Believe in the Lord your God. You'll be established. Believe in his prophets. You will succeed. Not because the prophets are so special, but because the prophets have spoken the message of God. You believe in God. That's what you believe in. And then he figures out, what are we going to do next? Oh, here he still doesn't know what the answer is going to be. He appointed some to sing for the Lord, and some to praise the splendor of his holiness. When they went out in front of the armed forces, they kept singing. Do you see that? Look at that one word. Not just they sang, but they kept singing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. Let's say that together. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. This is what they're doing. The enemy is still out there. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. They don't know what they're going to do. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. They don't know how God's going to answer. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. Why do they do this? Because they have a word from the Lord. Because God has put praise in their hearts. Because they know the battle is the Lord. Now, here you go. Ready? When they began their shouts and praises. When did God start working? The Lord set an ambush. When they began their shouts and praises. When you and I be, here's a takeaway. When you and I begin to praise the Lord, God begins to work. When you and I shout to the Lord from our hearts, well, I don't feel like it. Well, you know, I got an answer for you. You know what David said to his soul? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, I don't feel like it. There's no answer. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. Well, that's Old Testament, Pastor Jennifer. Here's New Testament. Paul and Silas in the prison at Philippi, badly beaten, bruised in the inner dungeon. Midnight, what do they start doing? They were praying and singing hymns to God. Do you think they felt like it? I can tell you they didn't. I can tell you they didn't. But what did they do? They sang praises to the Lord. When they began their shouts and praises, and we know what happened to the prison, right? But really miracle, right? Because if the whole prison had fallen down, they would have died. They were in the inside. So what happened? Special earthquake. The chains fell off. Go figure. That's what God does. When they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set an ambush. When you begin to praise the Lord starts working. The problem with you and with me is this. We praise the Lord, we praise, oh God, and we look for the answer. And we don't see the answer. I guess it didn't work. Guess what? God starts working, but do you know what? They don't know God has started working. Did you know? They don't know. Let me go ahead. You see what happens, right? They turn against each other. God sets the ambush. Hang on. Let me go forward. Hang on. Ah, I don't have it. Anyhow. Look in your Bibles. You'll see what happens next. The Lord sets the ambush. And then if you'll look at verse 24, you know what it says in verse 24? In verse 24, it says, when the Israelites came up to the watchtower, they looked out over and they saw that all the enemy was dead. That's what it says in verse 24. When they got there. So get the picture as we're coming to a close this morning. And then we're going to finish with praise this morning, okay? We're all going to praise the Lord out loud. That's how we're going to end this morning. Yeah, heads up. That's how we're going to end this morning. But I want you to see this. They're praising the Lord. As soon as they begin praising, God starts working. God starts defeating the enemy. They don't see it. They don't know it. They can't tell what's happening because it's beyond the mountains. And then when they get there, only after they get there do they see the enemy's all dead. They're lying on the field. There's all the plunder. There's all of that. And they didn't see it until they got to the point where the enemy is. But that didn't stop their praises. Their praises began because God was great. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. And they're praising the Lord with a loud voice, with all their might, and they don't stop. They kept singing, right? They kept singing. And God started working. What if they had stopped and said, well, we haven't seen it yet. We haven't gotten a report yet. No, they kept praising. So here's your takeaway. Here's our takeaway, brothers and sisters. You don't see the answer yet? Keep praising the Lord. Don't know what God's going to do yet? Keep praising the Lord. You don't see it, but God is working. When you start praising the Lord, God starts working on your behalf. I don't know when the answer comes. I don't know how the answer comes, but I'm not responsible for the answer. I'm responsible to look to God, and I'm responsible. God, I'm going to praise you. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I praise you. God, I don't see the answer, but I'm going to praise you. God, it's still tough, but I'm going to praise you because God is working. And when you and I praise, God works. The enemy is defeated. Every time. He is rendered powerless. He has no defense against our praises. Amen? Amen. 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 And it's time to stop. So I'm going to give you some of these other verses later. But let the praises of God be in their mouths. Oh, okay. Here, we're going to skip some verses. We'll come to it next week. Look at this. God inhabits the praises of his people. What a great one to end with. When you and I, you just start praising. Oh, God, I feel so alone. But I praise you because it doesn't matter how I feel. You say you will never leave me nor forsake me. God, I'm sick, but you said you are my healer. And by your stripes, I am healed. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this or whatever. But you say you are Jehovah Jireh and the Lord will provide. God, I don't, but you are my shepherd. And God works. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God for Jehoshaphat. This was a simple story you all knew so very well, right? We know this so very well. But what wonderful, wonderful takeaways. Don't wait for the victory to praise God. Praise changes things. Praise speeds the victory. Praise brings the victory. Praise is powerful. Amen? And so as we close, I'm not even going to ask the musicians to come play, because we're just going to use our voices to praise the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're just going to praise the Lord. And you say, well, I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're just going to praise the Lord. You say, well, I'm a quiet one. Well, okay, you can do it quietly. The only thing I ask is this, not because me, I'm pastor, but because this is what God's word says. I ask you to let it be something that is outwardly visible and outwardly heard. Outwardly heard. Because that's the example we see in the Bible. You may kneel if you want to. That's here. You may get on your face before the Lord if you want to. You may clap your hands if you want to. You may raise your hands. We talked about that last week, that expression of it's an outstretched arm. But what I do ask is that don't even worry about the, don't even say, oh, this problem. Nope. Let's just praise the Lord, okay? Just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. If you say, well, how to praise the Lord? You can look at a song. Just, Lord, I praise you. Lord, you're good. You know verses about God. So that's how we're just going to close this morning. Don't be shy and don't be too fast, okay? We're just going to raise up. We're just going to, all of us outwardly, and we're just going to praise the Lord this morning. You know, we're going to praise the Lord this morning. Amen? We're going to praise the Lord. Let's just lift our voices. We've got time. Don't just wait, oh, for a minute or two. We're just going to take several minutes. If you have to leave, that's okay. Step out quietly. But we want to give God some time. Let's just praise the Lord out loud. Out loud, okay? Let's just praise the Lord. Lord, I praise you this morning. Praise for yourself. Lord, I worship you this morning. God, I thank you. I thank you, oh God. You're a good God. Lord, I thank you. You've never failed me. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, that even though I haven't seen the answer yet, God, I know you will answer. I know the answer is on the way. I know the answer is on the way. Lord, I know you will answer. Oh, Lord, though his heart is still hard, you have said, oh, God, that you will give us hearts of flesh for hearts of stone. Oh, Lord, you have said that you will deliver us from the devourer. Oh, God, you have said, hallelujah, praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. Lord, it seems impossible, but God, you do impossible things. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praising the Lord, that's okay. I'm happy for you to keep praising while I'm talking. In fact, I'd prefer that. But I want to encourage you this week, whatever you're facing, there are many different ways to pray. Sometimes we pray in tears. Sometimes we pray in desperation. But one of the ways we pray is through praise. It is through praise. And I want to give you some Bible homework this week that is going to make a difference in your situation. Take some time every day. Get wherever you can. If you need to go in the bathroom and lock the door, do that wherever you are. Or go outside and praise the Lord out loud. Would you do that? Every one of us, every day this week, just take some time. Praise the Lord out loud and watch what God is going to do. Amen? I believe when we come back next week, we're going to have some testimonies of victory of what God has done while we praised Him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Go with God. We'll see you next week. Amen. Amen.